Hello and welcome to Mohawks Meet the Team series, a podcast dedicated to the team behind creating the strategy title, Old World. We'll get to know more about the team and their work on the project.
This week we speak to Jason Pastrana, the lead concept artist for Mohawk Games, and we learn about some of his hidden talents, including being a green thumb. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the show, Jason.
Hey.
First of all, I want to say before we even start any of this, you do amazing work. I love all the things you've done for Old World, and you've brought this game to life in a lot of ways, and I really think that there's so much to be said about that, but I'd like to get into that a little bit later. But I had to start off the bat by saying that you're an amazing artist.
Well, thank you very much.
And with that, let's go back to maybe an earlier time, way before you even maybe became an artist. And I want to know about where you grew up. Where did you grow up?
Well, I was born in New York, but I moved out when I was about four, and I lived most of my middle school, high school days in Miami, Florida. Actually, Miami Beach, Florida, to be specific. So the beach was very close to me. So yeah, that's where I grew up in Florida. Went to middle school, high school there. Always was interested in art. I would pose my little Ninja Turtle figurines, you know, and draw them. Like kind of like life, like all my little toys, my G.I. Joes, and draw them. And didn't really think there was much of a career there, obviously. I enjoyed drawing. And only in high school was my mom, like, she really was trying to push me to consider possibly going to school for it. I didn't even think there was even a school you can go to. It was just something I was interested in. So she, right around high school, she kind of, I remember the day I was laying down on the couch on a, we didn't have air conditioner at the time, and it was just, I was just sweating, and she wakes me up and she's like, "Hurry up, get up, put your shoes on. We're going to go to this high school that's like 45 minutes away. And they're doing trials right now for their magnet art program." So I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I got up and we drove over there and sat me down, and the test was basically just draw a still life. So they set up a still life, and I drew it, and that's my first sort of, long story short, I got into the high school. It had a pretty prestigious art program at that time. And that was the start of me kind of pursuing my career a little bit more, or more specialized with art. I guess I had talent at that time. So from there, I went to school there and went to school in Maryland. I went to the Maryland Institute College of Art, and I went there for illustration and a minor in 3D modeling as well. But back then it was, I don't even think it was called 3D modeling. It was just 3D. It was like a new thing. It was not really game related. It was more like making cool sculptures out of 3D. Like it was like a weird 3D programming minor. But anyways, I went to school there for illustration. My passion has always been painting. So I had friends that were classical painters, like oil painters, they were against digital, anything digital. And then the other side, I also had 3D artists. And I would be rendering at 3 o'clock in the morning a scene, you know. So I had very, very, very different two sides of my college experience. I had the more technical side, and then I had the painting side. And after 4 years there, I kind of didn't do anything for 3 years, just kind of like didn't know what to do. And I met at that time it was my girlfriend, but now it's my wife. And she was like, you know, if you want to get married one day, you're going to have to get a job. You know, she was basically like very blunt. And I was like, crap, I guess, you know, I was just very out of it. I didn't. So I applied for an internship from a good friend at the time who worked at Firaxis Games. And it was an internship to do some user interface stuff. I, at the time, didn't think you could make money or have a salary doing games in general. So I never touched a Cintiq before, so I was just a painting major and used my hands to create things. And they wanted me to join, or part of the test was for me to do some digital art. So I had to pick up playing Cintiq. I also had to, so I went there for an internship, and I got hired as an intern. And from there, after 3 months of doing some of their icons on Civ 5, which is the game I worked on, Civilization 5, they hired me. They were like, well, I created a situation where I created work that they couldn't replace or find somebody else to do. So they were like, all right, let's hire this guy. Even though I didn't really have maybe the experience that people had. So was at Firaxis for not very long, about a year and a half, and I was part of the layoffs there after Civ 5, and then moved on to the mobile space, which I worked for Zynga, which they kind of pioneered the whole mobile space at that time, you know, worked there. And that was a very different experience because I went from AAA to working on mobile games, and it's an entirely different beast. So I was there for a couple years, worked on Cityville and Farmville and all the other villes, which is interesting because in that job, I started off as a concept artist slash UI artist. But by the second game we were making, they needed a 3D artist, and they knew that I knew a little bit of 3D. And the art director was like, hey, what do you want to, you know, do you want to do some tests and some 3D models? And I'm like, sure. So I did some modeling, and long story short, I ended up just doing 3D for like a year and a half. So I pivoted from doing mostly concept art to 3D buildings. So long story short on that, the studio ended up having layoffs, as is typical in the industry. So they gave me the option to either take severance or move to California, to San Francisco, and or take a severance. And I was like, heck yeah, I'll move to California, you know. Yeah. Didn't have any kids. We found out my wife was pregnant like a week after I accepted. So we moved to very long haul to San Francisco, where I worked for Zynga for the continuation there for a little bit. Then worked with Mike Verdu in his company called TapZen for a little bit, mobile space. And, you know, all along doing freelance for other studios like Activision and what's the other one? Disney Junior and things like that. So I was kind of struggling to find real work and kind of struggling to live in San Francisco as well. So I applied for a job somewhere else, relocation, and I ended up getting a job for Disney in San Diego, which was kind of my dream job, you know, like, you know, who doesn't want to work for Disney, you know, be part of the Mouse House. Right. So that was a very different experience too, because we went from a studio that was, I don't know, 15, 20 people to, you know, thousands, right? Thousands of employees. So we moved to San Diego again and worked at the studio over there, worked on a game called Enchanted Tales, which was like a Disney, like all their IPs, like Frozen and Moana and all that stuff. It's like a game for that. And was on that for a little bit. And our studio closed there because I guess they're trying to move away from making games and just outsourcing games to like EA and other studios. So they consolidated a lot of the studios. So our studio closed, and my wife and I looked at each other and we're like, do we want to do this? Keep doing this, keep relocating for jobs. You know, it's getting kind of old. So we were like, let's think about us. Let's think about family first. So her mom is a great caregiver, and she lives in Atlanta, and we decided to move to Atlanta before I even had a job. I was just kind of hoping that some freelance would fall in my lap and just hope for the best, right? And it was either that or Florida, because my mom's in Florida too, but we thought logistically it would probably be better in Atlanta because the film industry is pretty big there. It's the game industry is a little bit better there than Florida, Miami. So we thought, hey, let's just do it. So we moved again to Atlanta, was doing a little bit of freelance. And that's when a couple people from Mohawk who worked there before were like, hey, do you want to do some freelance for Offworld Training Company, which is the game before Old World? And I was like, sure. So I did a few posters for them for that. Just did a couple of freelance projects here and there for Big Huge Games as well. Just kind of just living on the edge, you know. And then at a certain point, you know, I got pretty deep into Old World, and then I was hired as a full-time employee. But I obviously couldn't and didn't want to relocate again for the fourth or fifth time. So they made it available. They made it possible for me to work from home. So that's how I ended up here. I've literally made a square around around the United States. So.
Yeah, like a little rectangle square thing you got going. That's cool. Well, funnily enough, I actually grew up in Florida too, but I grew up in Melbourne. So I was just a little bit north of you. Well, a lot north of you. And yeah, I'm just curious. So there's a couple things I wanted to ask you. First of all, a question that came to mind when you started talking about the kind of like the rivalry between oil painting and digital, you know,
yeah.
Like, pretty so deep. Yeah, and I imagine that. And so I'm curious, though, because I imagine you started off drawing freehand on pieces of paper. And I'd wonder, how does that transition, I mean, how easy is that transition to kind of go from drawing and painting on actual, like, physical forms to going digital?
Well, it's funny. My illustration projects were, like, four-foot paintings, right? Everybody else was bringing in, like, pieces of paper or, you know, little tiny things of sketchbooks. And I just love painting large. So I'd bring in giant canvases to my classes. I think it depends on the person. I tend to pick up things very easily. Software, you know, Unity, we're using Unity for our game. And it's something that I didn't know. And they were just like, here, figure it out. So a lot of it has to do with the personality of the person. And I'm someone that picks up things easy and also enjoys doing different things, right? Because you have to enjoy it too, or you just can't pick it up and just not enjoy it. So I've always been kind of technically savvy as well in college, you know, using a little bit of Photoshop and other things and doing video editing of all things. Like I had to, oh, that's another story. I did video editing as well. It was like, I've reinvented myself so many times. like I worked at a church for video editing. And then, I mean, I was just all over the place. For me, I mean, 3D was just another tool, right? Like I was doing paintings, but either I used 3D to help my paintings or I paint landscapes on my 3D. It was just another tool to visualize something in my head, right? So for me, it was no real distinction, other than the technicality of it. And that's dependent on a person, I guess, you know? So.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, of course, if someone's, you know, more capable of changing with the times, then of course they're going to be able to change with the times. So
yeah.
I'm curious, Jason. So, I mean, were you playing strategy games beforehand? Is that how you got into Firaxis or even thought about joining Firaxis? Or, I mean, was that kind of like, or is
not
it just
at all
happenstance? Yeah.
No, I didn't play strategy games. Of course, you know, I was all into Halo 3, you know, like all those shooter games at the time. And that was the kind of games I played. Strategy was not in my radar at all. So it's not, yeah. So it's, and it seems like a lot of people are too in the game industry, you know? So that was my experience with games at that time. So,
but you'd heard of Firaxis and you'd heard of Civilization and you're like, eh, all right, I'll try this.
Yeah. I mean, like at the end of the day, I needed to create an illustration, you know, and that's what they wanted from me. You know, I don't think they cared. Like I was new and I was not as experienced. So their ask for me was very basic. It was just create illustrations, make this look good, you know? that was it. And it's funny because my first day of using the Cintiq, I was at Firaxis, I like had one layer I worked from. I didn't even digital painting using the Cintiq. I was just using one layer and not layering things, you know? So I had to get used to the idea that, oh, like my art needs to, like they need to be able to use it in other things than just the icon, you know, like, so.
Very cool. Yeah. So as you get brought on to Mohawk, I mean, did you have a previous history with Soren? Is that how you guys end up catching up with that?
So obviously Soren worked on Civ 4 and Civ 3, I think. He obviously worked at Firaxis. So I knew him through that, but we also used to play basketball a lot together. I don't think he was at Firaxis at that time, but we would still join up in teams and play basketball. I think a couple times drove me home or drove me to the bus stop or something, you know. So yeah, that was my experience with Soren. And sorry, he also worked at Zynga for a stint there as a game designer programmer, so we worked together there as well.
Awesome. So you come on board with Mohawk and you start with some of the Offworld Trading Company posters, which I remember those actually stand out to me. And it's not something that would normally stand out to me, but I remember seeing them and thinking, wow, these are really cool. They kind of fit with this like weird, like race to space kind of theme.
Yeah.
And then now you're here with Old World. So what are your responsibilities here with Old World?
So like we talked about before, all the portraits in the game, which there are thousands of them. I worked on those from the baby ones all the way to the old age. I kind of inherited a little bit more of the user interface tasks. So all the user interface currently right now is, at least the art part, is my stuff. And I dabble in some visual effects. I kind of do a lot of things in the game. Hard to pinpoint what I haven't kind of touched. I guess the terrain, I haven't really done anything with that. But mainly the portraits, man, the user interface of the game. Early on in the game, though, I was doing a lot of concept stuff for buildings and mock-ups on how things are going to look. So a lot of prototyping early on. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious to know, how long does it take you to do an individual portrait?
Well, in the beginning, it would take a lot longer because I was doing them all like by hand, like drawing it. And, you know, I had to evolve a little bit because they were just way too many. So like certain tools that would help me was like, you know, AI. I use a lot of this AI facial manipulation software that basically has all these open source faces that are mixed together to create your own face, and it's like realistic. So I kind of use that a little bit to kind of get an inspiration for a face. But, you know, it used to take like a day and a half for a face to like making like 4 or 5 a day, or more like 3 a day from scratch. So it's changed a lot my process so that I can become quicker. And I use a little bit of 3D as well because of my background. To your previous question, how, you know, about 3D, and this is a perfect example of like using it as a tool to complement my concept stuff. So yeah, I use a bit of 3D, and I do a lot of, you know, it's funny, like most of my time doing these portraits is researching. Like the art part's the easy part. A lot of it is just like trying to figure out like how can I make this guy or this girl look unique enough from the last one I made? Cause there's thousands of them, right? So did a lot of research, looking up Babylonian coins. You know, a Babylonian coin might have like an image of a crown that they used at that time period, you know? So I would use that as a reference for Nebuchadnezzar or something, you know? So a lot of it is just spent on the research and then the painting.
I was going to say that what I find amazing is that I myself, having played quite a bit of Old World, I can tell almost immediately which culture someone's from, you know, whether it be one of the major civilizations or barbarian tribe, based on their painting, which I think is a feat, really, because I'm sure it's difficult to, you know, get the Dane look correct every time, but you managed to nail it, I think.
Yeah, Layla Johnson, the CEO, she's with her background, she also helped out a lot with that. You know, she's a history buff, and so is Soren. So, you know, I had a lot of help along the way trying to make them distinct enough. Some are obviously easier than other, like Egyptians are like very unique looking in every way, right? Like they look almost alien, like in what they wore and their big wigs and things like that. But some of them were a little more subtle, like Greeks and Romans, you know, they kind of blended a little bit together in the way they looked and what they wore. But also the background helps a lot, that there's the background is different for each one, so you can identify like which one is which.
And I think you briefly kind of touched on it too. So, I mean, would you say that I would imagine that like aging these characters, right? Bringing them from childhood to, you know, old and elderly age, like that process and having to draw that same person, or at least age them in ways that make them look like the same person yet older or younger. Mm-hmm. I imagine that's probably one of the hardest things you've had to do, right?
Aging is actually the easiest part.
Okay. All right.
Because I used software processing for figuring out like de-aging them, basically. So it was part of the process to make these quicker and to make them look like the character, which is really hard to age someone without it looking really like making them look like decrepit, you know? So I use a lot of software processing to age them and de-age them. So I would take my adult version that I made, which took the longest time because I spent a lot of time on research on it, right? And then I'll take it to software processing, and it kind of helps me. It manipulates the face, but there's a lot of work to be done afterwards. It's not like, you know, like they'll have like a missing eyebrow or something, you know, like, it won't recognize the face whatsoever. Like it'll be like, doesn't know who this is, you know, or maybe thinks it's a girl and it's supposed to be a man. And so there's a lot of work afterwards, but it definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun with those apps that you can find online where, you know, you can take a photo of yourself and age yourself like 40 years, or take yourself back to where you're a teenager. Yeah. And they're surprisingly accurate. Like I would, you know, try to make it my teenage picture, and, you know, it kind of looked like me as a teenager. I was really surprised.
Yeah, it's crazy what computers can do now. Like, and also, speaking of 3D modeling, like someone posted Unreal's sort of face morphing software. Like I remember modders taking about a month to work on Civ 5 just to work on a one character, you know, the, like modeling them and animating it. And now you can just like, just use a little slider and be like, oh, I want his nose a little bit bigger. Oh, too big. You know, like everything's a slider now, you know, so it's, yeah. It's quite a bit.
Well, and that brings up a question I had for you. Like, how do you see technology shaping and forming art as we go forward? I mean, do you feel like, I mean, I would assume and I hope that there's always going to be a spot for a human, but it seems like the AI and computers are starting to kind of take over some of that. How do you see that happening and how do you see that progressing?
That's a really good question. Honestly, there is software right now that can make, I could take a photo of you, press a button and make it look like an oil paint, right? And so I think the battle in the future is going to be authenticity. That's going to be like the discussion, not so much how it looks. It's going to be like, is it authentic from like, from, you know, there's going to be, and it's not going to be me who's saying that. I think it's going to be those that are going to want like an authentic, you know, hand drawn or whatever piece versus the press the button kind of thing. So I think that technology is here already and it's just going to improve, but I think it's going to be a battle of like, what's authentic and what's not, you know? And I know that for a fact, because that's the way it was in college, right? Like there was a pretty big divide between classical painters, you know, making sure that, you know, art is like paint that you can roll on a canvas, right? Versus art is subject to interpretation or it could be whatever, you know? Like those discussions were already there when I was in college and don't think it's going to get, I think it's become even more complicating now, I would say.
Yeah, a little known fact, Jason, is that the AI war in Terminator was actually started over whether or not the robots should be allowed to continue doing art. So it was, you know.
Yeah.
that is wild to me, right? Because like you can see, like you said, you can use apps now that will do almost a lot of the things that you're looking for. It'll make it look like an oil painting and stuff like that. So authenticity, I believe, is where artists like yourself will differentiate yourselves from the robots, you know, from the evil AI.
Like there's some things that a computer I don't think will ever be able to do. Like there's fundamental things like composition, like figuring in composition and color and lighting to make an appealing image. Like those kind of things are so very subject to the person. So there's just certain things that I think an artist's eye is always going to need no matter what. I think the computer knows, is really good at generating a look, right? Like if you want something to look stylized or super rendered, it can make it look that way, but it still needs to be composed. It still needs to be lit. It still needs to be colored, you know?
Yeah, I understand. And hopefully there will be a gap between the time now and the time where the AI can fill in all those other gaps. So, you know, I was curious now if we could come back to your personal life a little bit. You mentioned earlier that your wife was due with your firstborn back when you moved from Maryland to California.
Yeah.
And so how many kids do you have?
Two kids, two boys.
How old are they?
One is 4 and the other one is 6 and a half. Seven.
You have your hands full. I know that. I know those age groups.
Yeah. How many kids do you have?
I have 3 myself. I have a almost 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Definitely changes things.
It does, doesn't it? So like, how do you work? I mean, I'm imagining like most of your work since you've moved to Atlanta has been from home. So how do you manage that with kids?
I manage it by just allowing it. I mean, like it's just, I mean, they're, you know, that's the great thing about work from home is that I can make up hours later if I didn't get the work that I wanted to do done. But yeah, my day is pretty, I get interrupted 100% of the time, you know. You know, luckily, you know, I have two kids that are, they love to entertain each other and entertain themselves. They can play Legos for hours. So that's, you know, it's not too bad for me on that side, but it could definitely, it's a definitely change of pace than working at in a studio where there's literally 8 hours of you not seeing your family members at all. And then coming home there, you know, that long car ride home. And then there's like a moment of in the car where you have to transition from work to life and you get home and have dinner or whatever, put the kids to sleep. Like that does not exist. It's all mixed together now. It's like, it seems to be okay so far.
That scenario cuts me deep because that's kind of how my life is right now. I mean, of course I'm like a lot of Americans where I go to my job and I come home and I have to switch off the work button. And I'm a little envious.
Yeah.
Well, so it makes it pretty clear to me that you probably had a pretty easy transition from pre-COVID to post-COVID life?
Yeah, because I started working from home from the beginning, right? If anything, it's made it better because now everybody works from home and there's not like, there isn't like a secret like strife against me because I work from home. Right. So it's like, it's level the playing field now.
Yeah, it's no longer Jason from Atlanta.
Yeah, but, that guy.
Yeah. He's not even in Maryland. Have you been to Maryland and seen and met your coworkers from Mohawk?
Yeah, I did do a trip at some point a while ago. The team wasn't as big as it is now, but yeah, I have met the team there.
Well, and so what has been the biggest change since the COVID-19 outbreak? Were you someone who went out a lot before or ate out a lot before and has now kind of scaled that back?
Obviously, like everybody else, like we used to eat out a lot and do things. So I've had to find pleasure and joy in other things. But, you know, I never thought I'd get excited about going to a grocery store just to get out of the house, right? Or go to Home Depot or something, which, by the way, I wear like 3 masks when I go in there. That's like the highlight of my day. It's like, hey, I'm going to go on, enjoy the sun, you know, go drive to the gas station, you know. So, yeah, I mean, I've learned to find joy in like the little things, you know.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, unfortunately, I'm a frontline worker, so I've been going out and doing this whole time. And, you know, I do find there to be like small social gatherings, like as things have kind of eased a little bit ever so slightly. Those are exciting for me now. And I'm not usually someone who's very social. So I'm like, oh, cool. I get to see human beings that aren't work related.
Yeah. Do you work in games too?
No, I'm actually a police officer in Northern Virginia region. So I've been out there and still been at work this whole time.
Yeah.
And my wife, she's a paramedic too. So we've both been kind of on the front lines and exposed to a lot of this more than we would have liked to have been.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, I have a very unique job situation where, you know, it's the gaming industry is like booming now because it's like you have no excuse to work from home. Like, or if you're sick, it's like, well, you can work from home, you know, like, so.
Yeah, I imagine that in a lot of ways, it'll change the way a lot of industries work, but especially gaming. You know, I actually saw a tweet from Soren the other day that he was replying to somebody about how COVID has changed gaming. And he said that he thinks it's going to still be very difficult for people to start creating a game remotely. But that like the actual completion process of creating a game would be, you know, just as smooth, if not smoother. And I wonder how that will affect games going forward, because I wonder if it will be more difficult to create and start that creative process when you're all Zooming each other and seeing each other on FaceTime.
It really depends on the person too. Didn't Microsoft go completely work from home? Was it Microsoft? It's like a giant company went completely work from home. Like, and that's a lot of employees, you know? I think it was Microsoft.
I think Google did too. And I remember that being a big thing too, because they were saying, you know what, from now on, Google can work from home completely. And yeah, and I know that a lot of what Google was before this whole thing was a lot of its like social interaction and interactivity with its workforce. Yeah. So yeah, it's just a weird time, right?
Yeah, you lose some things and you gain some things on both, you know, like work from home. There's a lot of benefits. There's a lot more flexibility, but you do lose that sort of passion that you would if you were in a meeting and you're all like cheering on or looking at something together and the interaction. But, you know, it's a lot more quieter, but it also means you're a lot more productive too. Because, I mean, I remember being in meetings for like 2 hours and then at the end, you're like, what did we just talk about? Like this whole time, what just happened right now, you know?
Yeah, like that could have been in an email kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you do outside of drawing? I imagine that you've had some hobbies. Would you mind sharing some of them with us?
Yeah, I have some strange hobbies.
Yes, strange is good.
So I am really into lawn care. I can diagnose like diseases on your lawn and I tell you exactly how to treat it. Like I'm like weird that way. So yeah, like it's my little hobby is lawn care.
Do you work remotely like that? I mean, I could use a consultation.
If you show me a photo, yeah, I can diagnose a lot of things and I know a lot about different varieties of grasses and what's how to react to certain temperatures and fertilizers and, you know, fungicides. And so like, yeah, that's part of my hobby is doing that. I also do a lot of house projects, keep me busy. Like right now I'm working on the fireplace. Like I like just tinkering, you know, fixing things. And I watch a lot of TV, a lot of television, a lot of Netflix. So I don't know if television is a hobby, but it's definitely mine.
If it's your hobby, you can say it's your hobby. What shows do you enjoy the most?
Right now I'm watching WandaVision.
Excellent show.
I literally consume anything. Game of Thrones to anything on Netflix, The Expanse on Amazon, The Boys, The Bridgerton. I even watched some of those rom-coms. I mean, I kind of watch anything, you know, which was very good, by the way.
Yeah, my wife wrote me in. She said, just watch one episode. And if you can walk away after the first episode, then so be it. And I couldn't. Yeah. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There's people are saying it's kind of like softcore porn. It's a little sensual, but it's funny. It's not funny. It's great. It's great.
I think that may have been kind of where I was like, okay, cool, I could get behind this. But it was like softcore stuff with a story, like a really good story. So I was like, all right, I can watch this.
We're all adults here, you know? It's adults.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a little weird watching it with your loved one next to you. That's all I got to say about that.
Yeah, no, those are great shows. A lot of those shows are shows that I've watched too. I've really enjoyed The Boys. I think that's one of the better shows I've seen in some time.
Yeah, I watch everything. Don't discriminate. Like it all.
Very cool. And are you still playing games on the side? I know that a lot of people have a hard time when they're in the games industry actually playing video games. Do you still find yourself taking time to do that?
Yeah. You know, play old games still, but playing CK3 and a lot of... When you have kids, like, you play a lot of games because they're always wanting to play games like, you know, Lego Batman and Lego Avengers and things like that. But yeah, I keep it casual.
Yeah, I found the same thing. Like, actually, that's why I've gotten into turn-based games myself, because with kids, you can, you know, you finish the turn and you can stop. If that's what you need to do, you need to stop, then you can stop. But a lot of the more, you know, fluid games and games that you can't save anywhere, like, you know, a Destiny 2 or something like that, it's much harder for me to get into because of kids.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been playing a lot of, I have an Apple TV and they have kind of fun games on arcade. I don't know if you played any arcade games, but you pay $5 a month and you can download any Apple game you want. So I play that as well, which is, it's interesting because you use your Apple controller, but you can use a regular, like an Xbox controller to play. So you could play like, you know, Forza or like any racing game and things like that on there.
Oh, that might have to happen. The kids like my Switch now, but I'm sure they'd love to do more. There's more.
Yeah, a lot more.
So, Jason, for you, I mean, as you guys kind of inch towards the finish line, what's left on your plate?
I'm continuing doing teen portraits. I got a couple more nations to do, like younger versions of the people. I have a few icons to fill, and so we're still tweaking the UI, like the user interface, trying to, you know, not make it look so bare bones, trying to give a little bit of spice. I don't know if that's a good word for it, but trying to make it look a little bit more themed. And after that, I'm going to transition into our super secret second project, which I have no idea what it is.
So we can't even torture you.
I don't even know what it is. So I know it's a second project. I don't even know. So
yeah. And like Soren said in the last episode, I think that, or one of the episodes prior to this, is that I feel like Old World has a lot of meat left in it, right? Like there's still a lot more you could do with that formula to create more life for it. So I think, you know, if you've got that and you've got this thing you can make expansions for and create content for, you know, you have the opportunity and the time and the personnel really to start building something on the side of that.
Yeah, it'd be awesome if we had expansions for the game. There's obviously the game ends at a certain era, so we can continue going further, but it's, you know, it's a pretty tight game in terms of the era. So it makes for a very rich kind of experience, I think. Then Civ 5, I think by, you know, you kind of lost a little interest personally. Like you start off and then, you know, towards the industrial age, it starts shifting a lot and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite aspects of Old World. I think that it doesn't overstay its welcome. Because by the time in a lot of civilization games that you get past a certain point, you're just like, all right, well, you know, I either know how this is going to go or I'm just kind of tired of having to move like 42 units every turn.
Yeah. So,
and I like that about Old World where it settles in, you know, and it's over when you need it to be. So that's important.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a pacing thing that I know Soren's done a lot of work on. So yeah, well, Jason, where can we find you if we want to find your artwork or more of where you are and who you are on social media?
I guess you can go to my website. It's just jasonpastrano.com. And I have my personal work there, which is, it's entirely just personal stuff, which is mostly Marvel stuff because I enjoy Marvel movies. And then there you'll find links to my other accounts, Instagram and things like that. So I regularly do personal artwork too, as a hobby, I guess. You asked me about what my hobbies are. I guess art is my hobby. But yeah, you can find me there.
Excellent. Yeah. And so before I let you go, I have to know, do you have a favorite Marvel superhero?
I love them all.
That's good.
I think it's always Iron Man, personally. Yeah, he's my favorite. The cool gadgets, the witty humor.
He's a good one. It's a good choice. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's also my kid's favorite, and they have Iron Man pajamas, and they're always playing the role.
That's awesome. Very good stuff. Well, Jason, it's been a real big pleasure getting to know you. And again, I'm a huge fan of your artwork. I really appreciate the life you brought to the world, and your portraits and stuff have been really just a very awesome addition to the game. So thank you again for being here and taking the time to speak with me.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Dagen bil.